A Calamity of Noble Houses by Amira Genam. Summary of A Calamity of Noble House by Amira Genam. Introduction and the frame narrative. The novel is presented as a multi-generational family saga set within the Beldi, aristocratic, families of Tunis, framed by the modern-day investigation of Hind Ennefer. Hind, a professor of international law, seeks to uncover the truth behind a gin of truth that has haunted her family for decades, the scandalous calamity of December 7, 1935. The story is constructed through 11 distinct tales, each narrated by a different family member or servant, offering conflicting, biased, and deeply personal perspectives on the same central events, the marriage of Zubaida Ali Rassand Mohsen Ennefer, and the fallout from a letter sent to Zubaida by the controversial social reformer Taha Haddad. At the heart of the narrative is the arrogance and narcissism inherent in the noble houses of Tunis, a congenital defect that Hind believes has led to a history of hypocrisy, aborted love, and secret betrayals. The primary mystery revolves around Zubaida's relationship with Taha Haddad, a man whose 1930 book, Are Women in Sharia and Society, revolutionized and polarized Tunisian society by calling for women's education and an end to polygamy. The tale of Carla Luisa, The Interception. The first narrator, Carla Luisa, was Zubaida's loyal maid who accompanied her from the Rassar house to the Ennefer house after her marriage. Luisa recounts the omens of disaster that occurred on a cold winter dawn in 1935. She describes a night of sleep paralysis, the jinn Botelis, followed by a scream from Zubaida's room. Zubaida, who had recently given birth to Mustafa, Hind's father, was suffering from recurring seizures, an affliction her family attributed to the jinn. The calamity began when a baker's boy arrived at the Ennefer door with a bundle of bread meant for Zubaida. Mamd Ennefer, Mohsen's younger brother, intercepted the delivery. Despite Louise's desperate attempts to stop him, Mamd snatched the bundle, and a secret letter fell out. The letter, containing only two lines of writing, threw Mamd into a violent rage. He assaulted Louisa, accusing her of being a whore, and demanding to know who Taha was. When the family patriarch, Sidi Othman Ennefer, arrived, he read the note and revealed the devastating news: Taha Haddad was dead, and his obituary was in that day's newspaper. Othman slapped Zubaida with his cane, accusing the Rassar family of raising a disgraced daughter. The tale of Lela Janaina, Tradition and Superstition. Lela Janaina, the matriarch of the Ennefer family, offers a perspective rooted in traditionalist values and class prejudice. She reflects on the events in 1956, just after Tunisia's independence and the enactment of the personal status code, which she sees as Zubaida's last laugh over her husband Othman. Janaina viewed Zubaida as Frenchified and spoiled by European education, having attended a nun's school. Janaina's narrative reveals the internal family dynamics, particularly her overwhelming favoritism for Mamd, despite his aberrant inclinations. She describes her long efforts to cure Mehmed's refusal to marry by consulting soothsayers and sorcerers, including a ritual involving a red hen's egg and a hoopoe bird meant to break a black magic spell cast by Louisa. Janaina also details the bitter rivalry between Louisa and the original Ennefer maid, Kadouj, and her disdain for the Rassar family's Western lifestyle. The tale of Si Ali Rassar, Class and Rejection. Zubaida's father, Si Ali Rassar, provides the historical context for his daughter's relationship with Taha Haddad. A man of high status, Ali had hired Haddad to tutor his daughters in Arabic and Islam to counteract the Christian influence of the Catholic schooling. Ali describes the October 17, 1930 celebration at the Casino du Belvedere for Haddad's book, an event that became a carnival of disbelief in the eyes of conservative critics. Following the celebration, Haddad took Ali aside and asked for Zubaida's hand in marriage. Despite his admiration for Haddad's intellect, Ali was enraged by the proposal, viewing it as a betrayal of class boundaries. He mocked Haddad, telling him that befriending a blacksmith will make his filth rub off on you. To uproot the evil, Ali immediately accepted Mohsen Ennefer's proposal for Zubaida, forcing her to drop out of school and marry against her will. The tale of Si Mamd Ennefer, Trauma and Revenge. Mamd Ennefer's narrative is a dark confession of repressed sexuality and resentment. He reveals that he was repeatedly repaid as a child by Ayad, a one-armed man employed at his Quranic school. This trauma, coupled with his physical disability, a limp, fueled a lifelong sense of inferiority and a bitter jealousy of his perfect older brother, Mohsen. Mamd admits that he intercepted the letter not out of concern for family honor, but to destroy Zubaida, whom he hated because she saw through his facade. He confesses to fanning the flames of the scandal, hoping to see Mosen cuckolded and disgraced. He also recounts the violent physical brawl between the two brothers on the night of the calamity, which left the courtyard marble, pink with blood. The tale of the maid Kaduj, secrets of the freed slaves. Kaduj, the Enefa family's black maid and a descendant of the family's freed slaves, offers a perspective from the bottom of the social hierarchy. She reveals that she was the one who retrieved the secret letter from the hands of the toddler Muhammad Habib and secretly gave it to Mosen, allowing him to keep its contents hidden from the rest of the family for decades. Kaduj's story is marked by personal tragedy. She recounts the death of her mother, Zina, which was ignored by the Enefas because they were busy celebrating Mosen's circumcision. She also describes the horrific life of her sister, Yakota, who was abandoned in a brothel and later died in a psychiatric asylum after being subjected to electric shock therapy. Kaduj herself had a tragic affair with a hospital cleaner named Rezgui, which resulted in a secret pregnancy and a forced abortion facilitated by Mosen to cover up the scandal. The tale of Lela Bashira, maternal protection. Lela Bashira, Zubaida's mother, narrates her defense of her daughter on the night of the calamity. She was a lioness who refused to believe Zubaida had committed any sin, arguing that Taha was simply a polite former teacher. Bashira's tale also reveals a hidden act of maternal kidnapping. Following the accident that paralyzed Zubaida, Bashira kept Zubaida's eldest son, Muhammad Habib, in her house for 5 years, hoping to force Zubaida to leave the disgraceful Enefa house and return home. Bashira recounts the traditional healing rituals she used for Muhammad Habib, including a symbolic slaughtering of the whooping cough at a saint's shrine. She eventually returned the boy to Zubaida in secret while Si Ali was away, a betrayal that nearly ended her 40-year marriage. The tale of Lela Fawzia, the torture chamber. Fawzia, Mehmed's divorced wife, describes her horrific 6-month marriage to the faggot husband she had once dreamed of. She details the wedding night trauma, where Mamd ignored her, and the subsequent marital relations that were physically violent and emotionally degrading. Fawzia learned the truth about Mehmed's orientation from Zubaida, who used the French word for his condition. When Fawzia confronted Mamd and threatened to expose his secret, he beat her severely. She eventually fled the house on a stormy winter night, seeking refuge at the shrine of Sidi Meres, which provided the pretext for Mamd to divorce her and blame her for the marriage's failure. The tale of Si Othman Enefa, the judge's regret. The patriarch Othman Enefa reflects on his life as a judge and the stain of the scandal on his house. He describes his final meeting with Ali Rassar, where the two men debated the philosophy of raising daughters. Ali Rassar told stories of his childhood in the Bardo Palace, arguing that external modesty, like the hijab, is no guarantee of virtue, and that keeping women locked away does not prevent them from sinning. Othman expresses deep regret over the violence of the night of the calamity, admitting that anger blinded our judgment. He reflects on the campaign he helped lead against Taha Haddad, acknowledging that the apostate died alone and stone-pelted, yet he still views Haddad's ideas as a poison to Muslim women. The tale of Si Mahdi Rassar, War and the Reformer's End. Mahdi, Zubaida's twin brother, narrates the horrors of World War II in Tunis, with German tanks in the streets and Allied bombs falling from the sky. A doctor and journalist, Mahdi was a close friend of Ahmed Darai, Taha Haddad's best friend. Through Darai, Mahdi learns the true fate of Taha Haddad. Haddad spent his final years as a social pariah, harassed by children and cursed by Zaytuna scholars. Mahdi describes a heartbreaking scene where Haddad burned his own manuscripts, including his trade union history and his poems about Zubaida, declaring him a song played to the deaf. Mahdi remains tormented by the question of what was in the final letter, fearing it might prove Zubaida's guilt. The tale of Si Mosen Enefa, the secret marriage. Mosen Enefa, Zubaida's husband, reveals the most explosive secret of all. For 20 years, he lived a double life. Driven by doubt and Zubaida's emotional betrayal, Mosen secretly married Bahia, a deaf-mute Jewish girl who sold pastries in the lobby of his office. He bought her an apartment in El Hafsia and visited her every Tuesday and Friday, keeping her existence hidden from his family. Mosen confesses to a heinous act of betrayal. When Bahia became pregnant, he slipped abortion pills into her food to avoid the scandal of a child from a Jewish woman. He later bribed a doctor to ensure Bahia could never conceive again. Mosen also reveals the truth of the night of the calamity. Zubaida was not paralyzed by a fall, but entered a coma after a violent confrontation with Mamd. While in the hospital, Zubaydah hallucinated and called out for Taha, which Mohsen took as the final confirmation of her infidelity. The tale of the beginning, the seller and the truth. The final chapter returns to Hind. In the modern day, she enters the abandoned Enefa cellar and finds a metal box described by Carla Luisa. Inside, she finds legal documents and letters that piece together the final fragments of the mystery. Among the papers is a divorce document, dated February 15, 1936, proving that Mohsen had actually divorced Zubaydah in the aftermath of the scandal, only to keep her in his house as a disabled victim for the rest of her life. Hind also discovers a poetry manuscript, received from the baker Karita, containing a dedication from Taha Haddad to the Honorable Zubaydah. The book concludes with the realization that Zubaydah's legacy of patience and stubbornness was passed down to Hind. In a flashback, Zubaydah tells a young Hind, "You're the granddaughter of Zubaydah and the granddaughter of Taha Haddad." This statement serves as both an emotional truth that Zubaydah's spirit belonged to the reformer and a final rebuke to the noble house that tried to silence them. Key summary points: the calamity. On December 7, 1935, a letter from Taha Haddad was intercepted, leading to a family brawl, Zubaydah's paralysis, and her lifelong imprisonment in her own home. The letter's content: Haddad was merely leaving his final manuscripts, books and poems, with a baker for Zubaydah to collect, knowing his own death was imminent. Mohsen's double life: Mohsen maintained a secret marriage to Bahia, a Jewish woman, and forced her to have an abortion and surgical sterilization to protect his Beldi reputation. Mehmed's secret: Mehmed's orientation was rooted in childhood trauma, and he used the Zubaydah scandal to deflect attention from his own life and to hurt his brother. Historical backdrop: the novel tracks the shift from the rigid, aristocratic Tunis Medina to the modern era of Bourguiba's reforms and the 1956 personal status code. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.